Hi, welcome to Robot Wonk. I'm Matthew Owen.
And I'm Eric Kurt. This week we discuss the recent Supreme Court rulings, the tariffs and the financial markets, and the April 5th opposition. Good evening. Yeah. You're either watching or listening to Redwood Wonk. My name is Eric Kirk. I'm with Matthew Owen. We're discussing national political news of the day. A lot is happening, and the Supreme Court is in session, and they've come up with a lot of rulings, some of which involve Donald Trump, of course. And we're going to discuss, maybe we'll start with some of the, a couple of the immigration rulings. And some of them aren't really rulings. Some of them have either put aside injunctions temporarily or put or extended deadlines that were set by lower courts. That doesn't necessarily mean they're going to rule in their favor. For instance, a month ago, they had actually temporarily set aside an injunction that a lower court had ruled on ceasing U.S. aid, and then about a week later, they upheld the lower court decision on that. So sometimes they're just saying, no, there's not a need for an injunction right now, and then later they'll make that decision. So a lot happening here, but is there a particular decision you'd like to discuss, Matt? I mean, there's just so many of them.
The renditioning decision, where they said, yes, you can snag people off the street. However, before putting them on a plane and send them to El Salvador, we require due process.
Yeah.
So they still said you could grab them and deport them, but they have to go in front of a court and a judge has to rule, yes, this guy did a violent crime, an illegal alien or illegal immigrant did a violent crime in the U.S., get him out of here. But the Trump's team has been bypassing that little thing in front of the judge, just grabbing people off the street, and whoosh, they're gone. So now the judge says, get in front of a judge and let's see what that person says, which is fair. I thought that was an okay ruling.
Yeah, right. If they are complying with the law, and of course, part of the controversy is there is they've now admitted that they grabbed the wrong person, one of those alleged gang members, because they had a tattoo of some sort, and he is down there, and they are now resisting even bringing him back, even though they've admitted that he doesn't belong there. And in fact, they suspended the attorney that was arguing for him in court because he didn't argue rigorously enough to keep him down there. It's just kind of bizarre.
And the other thing that happened, too, on YouTube today, I was watching a CNN highlight. A United States citizen who's an attorney went to a foreign country, and on the way back, the airport says, we need to pull you aside for additional screening. He says, okay. He goes, we need your cell phone. He's like, why? He goes, we need to review it for all your contacts because you have been defending. They flagged his name that he's an attorney defending illegal immigrants in front of the courts. So they wanted all the information on his phone. He just flat out said, no, not without a court order. The officers of the airport would not give their name. They would not tell him what department they worked for. And they finally says, look, we're either going to keep you in jail for days or we're keeping your cell phone here for days. Which would you like? So we agreed to have them scan his contacts alone. Said, I will give you permission to scan my contacts and then put this all in writing. I say this because I just flew a few days ago and I was pulled aside for additional screening. Happens occasionally. And all of a sudden, a person says, I need your phone. My cell phone? Like, yeah. So I handed it to him. He walked over, plugged it into a machine, waited 30 seconds, and handed it back to me. I didn't think anything about it until I saw this thing today on YouTube from CNN. They're data dumping people's phones going through airports. Now, Eric, is that even legal? I mean, technically, I gave him my permission, but I didn't know what the hell they were doing.
Yeah, you got to, if they get your permission, and they are very clever at how they do that. But this attorney, when they're saying, oh, you are representing illegal immigrants, they're admitting that they're trying to get in to violate attorney-client privilege.
And that's what he said. I've got client documents all in my email, and no, you can't see that. That's privilege information.
Which means they could be messing up their cases against criminals. I mean, seriously, right. That is how you blow it, is the fruit of the tree. Those cases could be dismissed. You could, you know, technically speaking, a murderer can be released onto the street because a search of an illegal search. That is why they're not supposed to do this. So for them to be blatant and then be stupid enough to admit that's what they're doing is just unconscionable. I mean,
they didn't tell him that directly. They just said, we need to scan your phone. Kind of generic. But he's like going, hold it. I've got privileged information in there. No, you can't do that. And then, of course, he came up with a give me a court order. And if in hindsight, I mean, they've already got my data dump. Wow, they can have my emails and texts. Not a lot of fun. What's for dinner tonight? Do you need anything at the store? Hey, are you guys around this weekend? Most of my stuff's fairly benign and boring, but I don't have work documents like he's saying where I'm going back and forth with my client. That could be problematic if that got to the other side.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of drama at the Supreme Court right now. There was an interesting one on one of the decisions that Roberts actually went with the conservative majority or the right-wing majority, however you want to frame it. But Amy Coney Barrett went with the liberal dissent, and she is getting a rash of MAGA hate mail.
I saw that.
Yeah, it's just absolutely there. And they are attacking. I mean, it is nasty.
The one problem I have with the Supreme Court ruling is you were talking about the guy who was snagged off the street and sent down to El Salvador, who is, if you follow his background, he's kind of an effeminate gay man. He has some tattoos. He has brown skin and tattoos, which seems to be their litmus test. Do you know how many Hispanics have tattoos? Let's just say a lot, especially if they're younger. Yeah. It's more of a younger generational thing. But that is not probable cause. Because you're brown skin and you have a tattoo, we think you're a criminal. We're going to send you out of the country. But the Supreme Court said to this guy who's down there now, okay, you don't have to get him back right away. And I'm kind of going, hold it. What if that was Don Jr. or Eric Trump down in El Salvador jail? Do you think Donald Trump would pull every lever of the United States government to get that innocent person back home? And that should be the litmus test of the Supreme Court.
It's interesting the attitudes law enforcement have about tattoos. I represented a woman years ago in a false arrest case and against the state, and the attorney general representative is deposing her, and she's got a tattoo of an M.C. Escher Mobus strip on her arm, and he's asking her about it, saying, is that gang-related? And I just had to interject. I said, boy, that would be the nerdiest gang in the world, M.C. Escher.
What is that? I don't know what that is.
M.C. Well, the Mobus strip is a strip that is theoretically two-dimensional. You twist it, and M.C. Escher was an artist that's favored by nerds who are into Star Wars and the rest. He's an artist that has all kinds of real interesting optical illusions. And I knew him from when in the 1970s, you know, those of us who were into Star Trek, Dungeons and Dragons, were into M.C. Escher. And she was that type of nerd too. And so she had a tattoo on. And so this guy's asking if it was a gang. And I'm just laughing, thinking of all the people I knew, you know, playing Dungeons and Dragons and going out on the streets and wreaking havoc. I mean, it's just, but that's what they don't know. They see a tattoo and they make assumptions. I mean, it's not even accurate profiling. I mean, my daughter has a tattoo, you know, wasn't happy when she got it, but you know, she has it. Anyway, it's just, the reason the administration is resisting bringing the person back is they don't want the precedent of having to do that. And they're under Salvadoran jurisdiction now. We don't even have the authority to order them back. Well, you can get them back by threatening to not pay them for holding them. But
the other point you brought up is, Eric, do you know how many people in the military and law enforcement have tattoos? Now, I'm not discriminating against people with tattoos. If that's your thing, great. I'm a libertarian at heart. Your body and what you do with it's your business. But for a law enforcement to randomly say, oh, this guy's got tattoos, he must be in the gang. How many law enforcement people have tattoos? Let's just say most.
Yeah. Popeye the cartoon character had tattoos. So, I mean, it's just.
And the joke, anyway. If you ever see a World War II film that's accurate, there was not a man in the Navy who didn't have a tattoo. Every single one of them had tattoos. So
it's a lot of these Supreme Court decisions are overturning district courts. But as I've pointed out in the past, they can't overturn them all. There's more decisions being made every day. The Supreme Court cannot hear them all. And so there's kind of an interesting thing going on. And the Supreme Court isn't necessarily overturning them, but basically setting aside or limiting the scope of injunctions. But it's not doing what Trump asked and issuing some type of overreaching order that you can't. Right. Grant injunctions, because the Supreme Court doesn't have the power to do that. They can only take cases as they receive them. They can't issue an edict as to what lower courts are supposed to do. They can overturn the courts as they receive it. That's how the courts operate. That's,
The one thing I want to bring up, the mega world right now is losing their minds, saying the president of the United States runs the executive branch. He has more power than a lower court judge. And my point is, no. We were set up for our founding fathers that we have three distinct branches of government before the legislative branch, aka Congress, collapsed sometime after January 20th. But we still have a judicial branch, and that judicial branch can say no to a president saying, this is non-constitutional, you cannot do this. But MAGA world is freaking out over that because they do not want the judges to push back. Judges so far are still following the Constitution, and that's what's keeping our country barely a democracy at this point.
Yeah. So the theory, people have asked me, well, if the courts have that power, doesn't that make them the most powerful branch? And the answer is no, because they can't initiate anything. They can't set policy. All they can do is hear what's brought in front of them. So they have the power to decide that, but that's it. They don't. So they're limited to what it might be sort of absolute in what they can decide. And even that's not absolute. They can, they're limited by the guidelines, and they could even be overridden by Congress in certain circumstances. But, Congress can write a new law to override them. But the point is that's why they have that. They can't just come up and say, okay, we're making a court decision on something that there hasn't been a case or controversy. Some of the bases of the rulings, for instance, there were some firings of probation workers. All right, so they haven't decided on the merits on whether or not it was appropriate for those probation workers to be fired. The issue was standing. They held that the unions don't have standing because those probation workers weren't members of the unions yet, right?
Right.
They become members when they do it. So that's a kind of a technical thing. And there's still like several other lawsuits held that are in place by people who do have standing. I'm forgetting what the other case was, there was one where they overturned the ability to do something that they could be challenged one by one, but not in groups, like the ACLU wanted to be able to do. So it's just fine tuning the stuff. The Supreme Court is not shutting down everything the district court does. It's fine tuning them. They are making some overriding decisions, but they are not expected to overturn, to basically allow Trump to issue an executive order to take away the birthright citizenship. It is in our Constitution. It is what the 14th Amendment says. So a lot going on, a lot of other Supreme Court cases. Before the show, I was telling you about, a Supreme Court ruling that says that a man could sue for triple damages against a CBD company because they advertised that there was no THC in it. turns out there was, and he got fired as a trucker for testing positive for THC. So he's going to get to maintain his lawsuit. There was a lawsuit that started several years ago by an anti-tobacco group that is allowing for the FDA to maintain action against tobacco companies for making the sweet flavored vaping, right? You know, against that. So the Supreme Court is having to deal with other stuff. They're not going to fill up their docket with just Trump stuff.
And Eric, I have to correct you again. You seem to be confused. President Trump can write an executive order to overturn any constitutional amendment because of a little known loophole called no one will stop me. So until Congress and the court stand up and say, no, you can't, like you said, birthright citizenship, it's in the Constitution. But Trump thinks that doesn't apply to me. I'm an executive. Right. I'm the president. I can do whatever the hell I want. We need the courts and, more importantly, Congress to step up and say, stop this craziness. You cannot overturn a United States constitutional amendment. So.
Yeah.
One more thing. I got to jump in here. I've got to apologize here. I've got a bottle of, let's see, Avello water from the last time I flew. I need to get rid of this bottle, at least take the label off. You heard Avello Air is now doing rendition flights to foreign countries. It's the first public airline that does commercial flights that has stated, we need the revenue, we're going to do this. And people are freaking out on them saying, yeah, I'm not flying you anymore.
I won't.
In the past, it's been private companies, and I've read articles of flight attendants on these flights. It's horrific. They said, if you have medical issues, there's no doctor or nurse on board. You just basically have to deal with it. The bathrooms are an issue on there. If they're lucky, they get a small thing of water, and that's it. It's just the flight attendant said it's horrific conditions. So
that's a long trip to El Salvador.
And one more thing I'm going to throw in there, too. With the summer season coming on, a lot of bands have foreign members who fly in the United States to play music. They're thinking twice about it, saying, can I get back out or am I going to be thrown in jail because I have a tattoo? Yeah. It's crazy.
All right. Well, we're at the end of this segment. We need to move to the next. We'll be talking about Supreme Court decisions in the future, of course. If you have any questions or comments, email us at redwoodwonk@gmail.com.
You can listen to Redwood Wonk on KZZH 96.7 FM every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m. It's been an interesting 4 days from last Thursday, Friday, Monday, and Tuesday. The stock and bond markets went in the tank. It's rare that a stock and bond markets go down both at the same time. Extremely rare. There was so much panic selling in the stock market. One of two things happened. Either these big hedge funds use what's called leverage. They borrow against a company and they put up collateral of treasury bonds. And if the value of the collateral falls, they get what's called a margin call and they have to pay in more in equity or cash. So they were selling their treasury bonds on the market. By interest rates went up 0.5% since last Thursday. That's a huge movement in 3 to 4 weeks. In 3 to 4 days, almost unheard of. And or what happened was foreign countries said, hey, let's screw the United States. Let's sell our treasury bonds. And if they all got together and did that, it would be Armageddon on our financial markets. So the CEOs and the Wall Street people are probably frantically calling Trump saying, stop this stupid tariff stuff. Let's get things back to normal because the whole world does not like tariffs and we live in a global economy. Everyone in the world understands this except Donald Trump and his advisor, Peter Navarro, his trade advisor. But it was just absolute chaos in the markets. Trump now has the record of the two largest days losses in the stock market from 2020 and 2025. He could say, I'm number one. I led the country to the biggest loss in the stock market over 2 days, not once, but twice. That's not a thing he wants to brag about. But when the bond market started going down, that's when all hell broke loose.
Yeah, none less tired about it. I mean, he basically imposed massive tariffs on, what, over 100 countries, I think
104% on China.
China, so, well, 104%, which even though he backed off of the tariffs today, which, by the way, sent stocks soaring up, of course, you know, they had to make up for a lot of lost ground, of course, he upped it to 125%, which, you know, is I think China is the second largest economy in the world. And that will impact. I mean, we can say, well, China's a bad guy. That's OK. But the fact of the matter is it's going to impact people who shop at Walmart. Who are they? The people who are low income,
low price goods.
Yes, it's there, but it maybe it won't affect food prices as it was about to. Well, I don't know. You hear people, even local Republicans, saying, "Well, you know, we're only doing tariffs against our enemies, Canada, the EU. I mean, you know, just on islands filled with penguins. I mean, it just but yeah, no, and of course he's trying to say, oh, they were all they all caved to me. That's why I've stopped him. No, he was getting pressure from billionaires, including Elon Musk, by the way, from Republicans in Congress who were actually threatening to pass anti-tariff bills, and from the stock market, which just wouldn't stop falling. I mean, okay.
Yeah. I got an interesting story for you. One of my clients runs a major manufacturing plant here in Humboldt County. Mm-hmm. He said to me today, with these tariffs, we have a little problem right now. And I go, what's that? He goes, the cost of goods to build our product is now higher than what we sell it for. Just because the raw materials that they import with the tariffs has gone up so much. He says, we don't know what we're doing day to day, let alone week to week. And that's how average American business is feeling, because they just want stability more than anything else. And I have to say something here. If you watch Fox News, you're probably not sure what a tariff is.
Yeah.
A tariff is simply when you import a good to the United States. So let's say, I'm just going to do an example. Mexico imports $100 worth of avocados to us. We pay them $100. Everything's great. But when you put a 10% tariff on there, the importer in the United States has to pay the Mexican person $100, and they pay that 10% tariff to the federal government, the importer in the United States. Mexico does not pay the tariff, contrary to what Fox News tells you. They're slowly coming around telling the truth on Fox News that, oh, the person who's importing the goods have to pay the tariff, which means my $100 of avocado is now going to cost $110. So it just went up 10% for me, because I guarantee Safeway is not going to eat the cost on those. They're going to pass it on to the consumers. And Fox News people are slowly getting that.
As much as possible. I mean, you know, if there's elastic demand and the market won't bear it, then the distributor or somebody will have to eat it. But that's the point. Somebody's going to suffer for it. It'll be, you know, the shareholders or somebody. But the point is, it's not going to be the distributors. They're not going to pay for it. They're going to send it to somebody else. I mean, there's a mass market for avocados. But the point is even the 10% that is still on there is going to hurt the economy. It's not quite the emergency that's there, but food prices are going to go up. Avocados are going to be higher than they were. I mean, Costco avocados right now are almost $2 right now. You know, they were just over $1 a month ago. And that's just one item. I mean, we get a lot of our fruit from Mexico. Fresh fruit. And somebody was telling me, oh, nobody cares about that. They care about their eggs and their breakfast cereal, which, by the way, breakfast cereal is probably second after fast food is the cause of diabetes.
Because of the sugar in it.
Yeah, right. So it's not good for you. It's we've got that, and even those prices are going up. Even though wheat prices have gone down, there are a lot of other things that we throw into them, weird additives that have to be imported because we don't make everything. I mean, it's just absolutely insane. But this is not the economy that was around back in the late 19th century when we could impose tariffs and it wouldn't make that big of a difference. I mean, it's I know that a few industries liked it. For instance, the shrimp industry in the Gulf of Mexico. I know I'm supposed to say Gulf of America, but the Gulf of Mexico were hoping it would benefit them. But the problem with those shrimp industries is people there, they've lost their brand down there because of all the oil spills and the toxins in that. So people don't want to buy from them. They want to buy from stuff on the open Pacific or Atlantic catch. And so people actually do look for that. But they were figuring, well, maybe people will be forced to buy from us. You know, it's just, but that's like one of the few. They're all over Reddit are small business people that were up until this morning posting. Well, and maybe they're still posting that they're starting to go under, some of them, and they are having to increase prices, and they are putting right on the label of their products Trump tax, this price increase courtesy of Trump tariffs. Right. You know, they're explaining it to their customers. This is why we're doing it. So people are going to get an education on tariffs one way or another, and it probably hasn't caught on yet because Walmart probably has plenty of inventory. But 125% tax on anything coming from China, that's going to have an impact. That's still going to impact Tesla, by the way. There's this myth out there that everything in Tesla is made in the United States. He's got plants all over the world for all kinds of things, and he doesn't even make
it. The biggest plant is China.
Yeah.
So, Eric, do you have any Apple products? I'm old school. I like the Apple iPod Shuffle. Do you happen to have an iPhone or any Apple products?
My wife does. I'm pretty much a Droid and Android person.
The Apple stores had a run on their product the last few weeks because everyone's paranoid the price of the product is going to double. Yeah. So, and that's going to be inflationary. And what's the number one thing Trump said he was going to do the first day in office? Get prices down. And everyone's panicking because prices are going up. Gas prices in Eureka hit $5.99 a gallon, the highest of my lifetime. 20% higher than when Biden was in office and everyone complained about higher gas prices then. Thank you, Donald Trump.
No, all right. He definitely didn't campaign on short-term pain. You know, that was not in. He didn't go around saying, "Oh yeah, you're all going to have some short-term pain." You know, let's sell that. I mean, there are certain things that have already been impacted. Olive oil. You know, I just happen to be lucky because, you know, whenever I go to the Bay Area, I do my Trader Joe's shopping, right? And I buy a bunch of olive oil because they've got great deals on it. But, you know, so I stocked up. But, you know, coffee is prices are going up anyway because climate change is impacting harvests. But we can't grow coffee in the United States. It doesn't, you know,
most of it's imported.
Yeah. You know, the sale of avocado trees is in the Bay Area is going wild, but they don't grow very well there. If you're in Los Angeles, you can do it. But it's just somewhere. I mean, and a number of other foods, seafood. We import a lot of seafood. Right. And for a lot of people, you know, trying to really increase their omega-3s intake, that's a big deal. Most of our sardines are imported. Our oysters are, you know, well, we have a lot of oysters locally, but that's fresh oysters. But, you know, I think Humboldt Bay is a cat where like 80% of the state's oysters, something like that. But
170, but yeah.
Yeah, but it's still even local prices get impacted, right. And so you know there is a lot that is going to, and food is basic. I mean that the food prices are probably what defeated Harris.
Right. Here's an interesting thing I read today about Audi, the German car maker. They have 17,000 cars down in the ports throughout the country. They said, keep them at the ports. Do not bring them in. They just want this tariff crap to settle down because they don't want to be slapped with a 25% higher price for the wholesale price of the car. But 17,000 Audis are going to sit there, whether it's a day, a week, or a month. They're not going to get to the dealer's lots. How would you like to be an Audi dealer in the United States and you have no product?
And that's just with the 10%.
But I mean, the problem with Trump right now is every day is a new number comes in and out of his head. It's 10%. It's 25%. It's 100%.
Right. And he's still saying that the tariffs could be back in 90 days. If you're a long-term investor, how do you plan for that?
You don't. But here's the other thing the foreign countries could do. They all need to get together and say, we have a simple thing we're going to counter with. We're going to go out and put tariffs on any Tesla imported in our country by 100%. It'll stop Tesla sales overnight. And you know who's going to freak out? Elon Musk. Oh my God. My net worth just got hit again. You got to stop these crazy tariffs. So
he's already having a problem because for a number of reasons, those Tesla trucks aren't selling.
They're not even taking as Tesla. Tesla's not taking a Tesla truck on a trade-in because they can't resell it.
No,
the brand is being hurt. I keep seeing people with stickers with an Elon with a red line through it, or I bought my Tesla before Elon went crazy.
But it's not just the social stigma. It's the fact that the exterior is glued, not welded, but glued to the thing. I mean, what are they thinking?
And they're coming off.
It's coming off. Or the fact that, you know, when the car is lights on fire, the doors lock you in. I mean, I heard that.
And not to mention, it's the ugliest car on the road, the Tesla truck, the Cybertruck, whatever they call it. Ugly.
Yeah. So, I don't mind ugly cars. I used to love the boxy Volvos of the 1980s, you know, but it was just, I wouldn't buy that thing. It's huge. The markets, they're going to be people looking for deals now and buying a lot of stuff and buying a lot of the stocks. And probably they'll go up again tomorrow because, you know, while the tariffs aren't in place. But does Trump really think this is going to make people want to come and build factories in the country? I mean, you know. But the idea, too, and I hear this from MAGA people, well, maybe businesses should just think about making things here and just selling things here. And it's like, that's not how the modern economy works. It's just not, it doesn't happen that way. And for one thing, the modern products we make require materials that we have to get from other countries.
We have to import. More importantly, let your MAGA friends know they can go work at these new American factories at $10 an hour with no benefits and see how well they like that. Because that's what they're paying them in foreign labor markets.
Right. And Florida is trying to allow child labor now? You know, they've got bills to bring back child labor, partly because they've lost so much of their immigrant labor. I mean, it's just it's a sad thing.
My favorite line I heard, I got to run in there real quick. Someone said, if you want to get rid of all the illegal aliens, you better get used to going hungry. No one is going to pick your fruit.
No, I know. I know. In Nebraska, some of the farmers are really condescending. They're like saying, well, will our black people come and pick it? You're all poor. Why don't you come and pick? I mean, and black people all over online are making memes of it. Are you serious? I mean, it's just.
I think we're done picking cotton. We're good.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. And on top of it, I wouldn't be caught dead in Nebraska for crying out loud. You know, it's just, we'll see what happens, but I'm just, you know, he's not only is Trump a businessman, but supposedly he was an economics major in college, right? I mean, he should know better.
We've never seen his transcripts. That's all I got to say. Will we ever.
I don't know. He's not listening to Elon. I mean, it plays into all those conspiracy theories about, oh, he's just in there to destroy the country on behalf of Putin. Or there's another conspiracy theory that he'd sent the stock market down crashing so that he and his billionaire friends can go scoop up all the stocks so that, when it goes back up again.
Along with Don Jr. and Eric, because they had inside information. I heard that one today, too.
Apparently, Marjorie Taylor Greene might be in trouble for some insider trading. There's an investigation pending, but then again, they'll probably just drop the investigation once it gets higher up.
If you bought S&P futures today, you made millions. You put up a small investment. It went up, you know, 50, 100 times in one day. That's not a bad rate of return. But you had to have the information. As you're saying on Wall Street, don't catch a falling knife. Don't ever try to grab a stock on the way down, because until it hits bottom, you don't know how low it's going to go. But if someone gave you inside information, we're going to get rid of tariffs today, buy at 9 a.m. At 10 o'clock, I'm going to make the announcement. You made millions.
Unless you've got the money to, you know, think 10 years from now. If you have any questions or comments, email us at redwoodwonk@gmail.com.
You can listen to Rub and Wonk on KZZH 96.7 FM every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m.
That's what happens, but all right.
Final subject, Eric. Tell us about the Freedom Parade or whatever the hell, the rally, whatever you want to call it.
Well, I attended the one in Eureka, but across the country, I'm hearing estimates of 3.5 million to 6 million people. That is a lot of people. When you consider, you know, that the percentage, I mean, that's like, what, 2% of the population?
Right. Yeah, I heard there was 2,000 people at the Humboldt rally.
There were 2,000. One estimate was 3. I don't think it was quite. I think it was closer to 2. I mean, they filled the streets, Fifth Street, all the way from, you know, between H and I Street to past K Street on both sides, you know, and up into the courthouse and into the parking lot. And then there were a bunch of people on 4th Street. I didn't learn that until later. There's some beautiful drone shots. If you go to Lost Coast Outpost, you can see them.
I saw that.
You know, it's a lot of pictures there and a lot of people that you'll know, you'll probably recognize. A lot of people, some people I ran into who've never been to a demonstration before.
And real quickly, 2,000 out of 135,000 people in Humboldt County is huge.
That is percentage-wise.
Take that same percentage to the Bay Area and L.A. That number is huge.
Yeah. No, it's not the biggest in history. The women's marches of the last time around were a little bit bigger. And in the Iraq War, there was one that was about 3,000 or 4,000. But still, it was huge. And people were going by honking. Occasionally, there would be somebody who would flip everybody off. There was one person who got out of a car and started a scuffle with somebody. I don't know who started it. Well, I know if they got out of the car, they probably started it. But who knows? But other than that, it was a peaceful event. A lot of positive stuff. They sang the Star Spangled Banner. There were American flags there. I mean, there's always different contingents. There was the Palestinian flag crowd as well, but they were on one side, and
we'll get to that next.
Yeah, but you had people with Ukrainian flags. You had, you had people with environmentalist things that are worried about the EPA. You had all different issues there and all different ages. I thought my son was going to be the youngest one. I brought him in the backpack. I as I was joking to people, I figured he should get his first FBI pictures, you know. But then the FBI has been gutted, so they can't afford to get take pictures right now. But there was a girl who was younger than him, looked like about 8 or 9 months. But it was a festive event. I haven't heard of much violence at all around the country. It all went pretty well. Of course, you know, when you have a lot of middle to upper class people showing up, everybody tends to be on their best behavior. As well, but it was, they made the point, and Trump, gave a real incoherent statement, not
for shocking.
Time. Yeah. It made absolutely no sense. I'm not even bother trying to find it to read it, about it, but it definitely rattled the New York City. I mean, it was just huge. I mean, it just went down from, I think the Lincoln Center, I don't know where, but it just went down street after street. I mean, this was quite the event. Now, you know, does going to demonstrations accomplish anything? Well, first of all, it for one thing, for the morale of the people, for after a couple of demoralizing times for the people who are there, it does affect morale. Even for people who see it on television or online, it affects their morale. Secondly, the demonstrations do have a way of affecting a narrative. It certainly gets rid of the idea especially when you have that many people involved of that there's any type of consensus behind Trump. We know there isn't, we definitely know that, but it also kind of puts pressure on Democrats who've been kind of like standing back saying, well, let's let Trump hang himself. There was plenty of people there saying, no, you need to be active now, not let him destroy the country, something,
Because he almost did financially here in the last few days. Yeah. And by the way, Eric, how much did George Soros pay you to show up at this rally?
I know. I need to sue him for all my back pay. And just,
And on that note, the people out there with the pro-Palestinian flags, you want to know why Democrats are losing elections? Oh, my God. This was not about Palestine. This was about the Trump White House and Elon Musk. But, of course, Democrats have to go off on their tangents. And the rest of the country looks at us going, oh, my God, these damn Democrats.
Yeah, well, and of course, we don't even know if they're Democrats. They may have voted green. They may not have voted at all. You know, that's a lot of the kind of radical left, quote unquote, didn't vote because they were disgusted with Harris. They blame Biden for what they called the genocide and all of that. So it's they show up. But that happens at every demonstration. I remember that way back in high school when we had when there was a huge 100,000 person demonstration for the Geneva talks it was 1982. And, it's about the nuclear freeze, and you see signs there, save the whales and El Salvador. You've always got that. So you just figure that's going to be in it, but they're always small. And it's, I think by now people know, that there's always going to be some weird person at the thing. I mean, you always have somebody dressed in cat in the hat walking on stilts, kind of missing the point and the rest. And actually, the funny thing is COINTELPRO, which was actually an FBI operation in the late 60s that got exposed by some people who raided FBI headquarters under Hoover and sent it to the media. The hearings in the 1970s revealed that they actually had their plants show up to demonstrations and burn flags to discredit the demonstrations. That was Hoover, right? So these things happen, and you just have to roll with it. And rather than trying to somehow push them out of the demonstrations, you just have to take into account you're doing your thing, they're doing their thing, and that's all you can do.
The Democrats have a lunatic fringe,
or the left. Remember, Democrats. Okay. Not all Democrats are leftists. And not all leftists are Democrats. This is, there were probably a lot of Green Party members in that crowd, even reasonable ones as well as maybe there. And then there are people, I mean, anarchists don't vote. It's against their possibility. And there were definitely a couple of people there with in the circle and the rest. So it's there. And if you're in San Francisco, it's probably at a demonstration, it's probably maybe 2/3 Democrats. So
you brought up an interesting point, Eric. The Trump White House and the Republicans in Congress are trying to say Donald Trump can do whatever he wants to because he has a mandate from the people. Yeah. Donald Trump got 77 million votes. 165 million Americans did not vote for Donald Trump. That's what they estimate the people. 75 million voted for Harris, but there's 90 million people out there who either were registered and didn't vote or don't even bother to register, like you're saying. Yeah. So 165 million did not vote for him. I would say the mandate was against Trump, but don't run that by your Republican friends. They don't want to hear that.
Yeah. By the way, there was at least one Republican who attended the demonstrations, but she didn't vote for Trump. So it's somebody who is sort of a party of Lincoln type who's holding on to hope that the party is not lost. So that's and they need to be there. Anna Navarro, is that her name? You know, yeah. It's people say, hey, they're welcome to join the Democratic Party, but it's also good if people stay in there and fight so that, you know, that's it.
And it's a good sign. Most importantly, I think this is getting people up for the midterms. When you get some sort of enthusiasm like this, but the Democrats need to come out with sensible candidates running for Senate and Congress. Yeah. And then more importantly, turn out the damn vote.
Yeah.
Still, we do that.
Yeah. I mean, that is to be said. The people who show up to demonstrations, I would probably say that 90% of them probably voted, but they also need to take that energy and ask their relatives, their friends, to try to vote. That's, you know, they if every one of them can do that. I mean, you know, it's real important. Their names, if they're on TV, people will see them, and they'll have conversations at work and the rest during the week, and that's good. But yeah, I mean, you know, we'll get into conversations about the election as we get closer to it, but I think the Democrats have a real strong chance of retaking the House. It's a long ways away. I'm more concerned about the Senate. But then again, if Trump is doing what he's doing, you know, all of the rules that we're talking about you know, tough incumbent races are off the map because things can happen.
My favorite sign I saw at one of the rallies was grab them by the testicles with Elon's face there. So yeah, they're trying to make him part of the face of this. And just last night, Trump went to a GOP fundraiser and said, I'm not backing down on the tariffs. They're going to cave in to me.
Right.
12 hours later, he caved in.
So, I know, but to hear MAGA supporters, they'll say, he said that 70 countries were kissing his butt. And it's like, yeah, right.
He lies all the time. Yeah, I'm assuming there are probably 70 countries are calling him. But they're negotiating. Yeah. We got to stop this insanity. What are we going to do?
And China's just giving him the middle finger. By the way, we're going to sell off the T-bills.
And China's giving him the middle finger, saying we're not caving in one bit. You need our products more than we need yours. Well, the worst part about this is China is now becoming the center of influence to all the third world countries because they need medicine, they need investments, and they need food. So guess what China is going to provide them? It's what we call soft power. For whatever reason, Trump and Musk think soft power is fraud, waste, and abuse. China is going to be going to all these third world countries and becoming their best friend in the world, where we should be there. I don't know why the United States is not doing that anymore.
It is worth discussing again. I really think that Democrats and others need to not push the conspiracy theories or even the real theories if you don't have a smoking gun about Russia and the rest. But it is interesting that, you know, this latest round of tariffs didn't include Russia, Belarus, or North Korea. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, it's real interesting who gets exempted. And I mean, it's just our allies in democracies.
Or former allies, because they're just going to say, let's cut the United States out of the loop and trade with each other.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Tariffs or no tariffs, right now, and I've said this on the past few shows, right now, countries and companies in those countries are making long-term arrangements to not be dependent on us in the future. They are opening up trade elsewhere. This damage is permanent or long-term.
That's the number one thing I'm fearing right now, exactly what you just said. If they make plans to take the United States out of the loop, that's going to hit hundreds of thousands, if not millions of jobs are going to go away because we're not going to be selling to our allies.
And they won't necessarily count on selling to us. I mean, you know, it's just it is a really bad thing. They will just make more of themselves. They'll grow more food themselves. I mean, you know, it's just it's not like we're the only ones with land. It's just that we invested a lot in our farming, but you know, there's plenty of land around the world. Right. So it's just that's something they have. I don't know. But anyway, the resistance, it's great that they held these demonstrations. I think that, if it was a Soros investment, well, I would ask that Soros invest more in getting people to turn out for elections. But, you know, that's wish they would do. I also heard the claim that he's not a citizen. Not true. But it's, and I said, well, he can't be donating to campaigns if he's not a citizen. And it's like, well, Biden wouldn't prosecute him. It's like, well, Trump will prosecute him. Did Trump prosecute him last time around? I mean, you know, anyway, it's just it gets silly. But there is definitely opposition. And I think it's starting to grow quietly in the Republican Party, but people don't want to get primaried.
You brought that up, that I had to look it up just now. George Soros is 94 years old. He's a concentration camp survivor from Hungary. But 94, he's not going to be around forever. And speaking of not being around forever, if you saw the picture of Donald Trump in his polo shirt down in his golf thing in Florida, while the four U.S. servicemen were being who died in training in Lithuania were coming home, he didn't meet them at the airport, and he looks about an ounce over 300 pounds. He just is a picture of health. Donald Trump's 78, obese, and when he doesn't have his makeup on, he looks like hell.
He does look bad.
Doesn't look healthy.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I felt guilty about during the, you know, the campaign, it was, you know, I almost didn't feel right with the idea of voting for Biden because I didn't think he would survive a second term. You know, it takes a lot out of you. I'm not sure Trump's going to survive it.
I don't think he needs an assassin. I think Kentucky Fried Chicken's going to do him in.
Yeah.
So
quarter pounders or whatever he eats from McDonald's. It's just. I don't know. You know, one of the things that we should probably talk about in a future show is how much his golfing is costing the country. You know, I mean, with all of this cutting. But we got a couple more things to talk about. I mean, you know, there's a lot to resist. I mean, he's proposing, he's cutting everything else, but he's proposing a record over $1 trillion military budget. I mean, wasn't DOG going to go into the Pentagon too? Whatever happened to that? You know,
didn't happen to that.
He's, you know, tear everything apart, but leave the military industrial complex. Term coined by a Republican, by the way, in
Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Yeah, in place. I mean, we're talking about situation where the Pentagon has said we don't need these weapons anymore, but because they're made in certain districts of influential Congress people, they get made anyway. You know, you want to talk about waste and fraud, and they're not going to touch that because they're cowards.
I agree with you.
This takes us to predictions. Matt, what do you have for us?
I'm going to predict that there's going to be a Republican in Congress that finds a spine. This chaos, I can guarantee their regional offices for any congressman are getting hundreds, if not thousands, of calls a day from their constituents saying, stop this insanity. Do your job. One of them is going to stand up, and it's going to be Mitch McConnell is going to probably lead the way. And a few others are going to say, we need to stop this insanity. We control the purse strings. We control tariffs. Congress does, not the president. And there's going to be a fight between the GOP Congress and the White House. And I'm looking forward to watching that fight.
Well, I'm going to make a slightly different prediction. I think that he provided the president, that is, 90 days to save face. I think what he's going to do is let the 90 days run, claim that he won some sort of victory, and then just not push it again. We'll find out if any of these things come true. But until then, stay informed and stay engaged.